February 19th. Good morning out there in the website video world. We are in part 10. What does the risen Savior say about today's pastors? And I'm going to throw in evangelists and missionaries. Because if there's anybody off base, I mean, pastors are pastors. Evangelists. I don't know one yet that fulfills the scriptures of evangelizing. And I don't know any missionaries. Unless, of course, we get away from the official usage of the word missionary, and you folks are missionaries. We're all missionaries. But I'm talking about those official ones that have gone on a stupid deputation, or whatever, where they got to go out and they preach what the people want to hear so they can get $50 a month, and they take off to these mission fields, and they get into these miracles and signs and wonders. And we all know from what we've read that the miracle signs and wonders, this whole Great Commission thing, which is a false teaching of taught, if it is taught today, was started by missionaries. And it came back to our churches in America. And besides that, it was the Baptist missionary that started it. This Great Commission stuff that's really seemed to have taken hold in America, which is nothing but a bunch of signs and wonders and miracles and healings. Okay, so we'll get off of that. Let's go down. Let's make sure here this morning who it is that we're talking about here. You know, I don't want anybody to think I've got a specific pastor in mind here. I don't. I've seen all the biggies, the Baptist KJV big guys. I've had lunch with them, dinner with them. I've talked with them. I've seen the average guys. I've seen those that, you know, what somebody mentioned to me that there's a circuit that goes around, you know, and everybody gets invited to everybody's church, so they get more money. And, you know, I've been paid up to $1,000 to preach. I was paid $1,000 one time to preach on music for a week. And I did. When the guy gave me the $1,000, he said, you know, you're totally right about what you're preaching, but you're not going to build a church on that, about music. You're not going to build a church on that. So, you know, that was his advice. Well, I'm not trying to build a church. I'm trying to just preach the truth. And a lot of places you preach for free. You don't care. You're trying to do what you can. But these guys go from each other's church to each other's church, and they get this tax-free cash. So I kind of think that's what it's kind of all about, is the money part of it. I never liked leaving my home church to go preach someplace else. I mean, I enjoyed preaching someplace else, but I never liked to leave. Anyway, whatever. So let's go to Timothy here. Let's look at who it is that we're even talking about. Let's make sure we understand here that I'm not just picking on all pastors. If a pastor doesn't fit this thing this morning, then, man, amen. And they've got to be out there somewhere. You know, I'm struggling. I'm trying to be the proper pastor, even if I'm just doing the website thing anymore. I'm not able to minister to people's needs. I'm not able to talk to them directly, visit you in the hospital. We got plenty of people that are hospitable. Not just hospitable, but hospitable. And I'm not able to do anything there. We don't support any mission fields. We very, very little support even for this particular ministry, the work of the ministry. So, whatever. So let's look at 2 Timothy 2:15, the most obvious one. This is what we're going to do before we look into what the risen Savior, what Paul says about today's pastors. Let's make sure who we're talking about here. We're talking about somebody in 2 Timothy 2:15. And maybe I'll try to make this as quickly again as I can. By the way, I have notes last week up, and I have notes, except I don't think I marked the sermon page that I have notes available. No, I know I didn't. I know Bob's been trying to keep up with this with his transcriptions, word for word. And I try to put them into the visual thing so we can read the verses and separate the verses and different things. That takes a while, not like he does. But I also have notes for today. I'll get those out this afternoon. So anyway, so the first one we look at here is who are these pastors we're talking about? 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Well, these are the pastors that don't rightly divide. There's your bottom line right there. If they don't rightly divide, then according to this, they are they are preaching profane and vain babblings. Verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay, that's the command. But if you don't do that, then you're obviously putting forth profane and vain babblings. And it increases unto more ungodliness. So there's your first criteria right there. Then you find out, well, what do you mean by rightly dividing? Well, following Paul. Well, how do you know that? Because what you guys do that say you rightly divide according to verses, you're not doing it according to Paul. And Paul tells us to follow him. So you've taken these scriptures, the word of truth, and we're dividing this up in the fact that it's all there for us. And I still can't get over how people can't get this. It's all there for us, but it's not all to us. Paul, who's the apostle to the Gentiles, and then especially the apostle to the church of God, those that are truly saved, that's the stuff that's to us. And we've even realized that you've got to rightly divide Corinthians because there's some things that went on during Paul's day that don't go on today. Paul even did healings and miracles. But that was before the King James Bible, 1 Corinthians 13:10. Another issue that people die over. But then you've even got to realize that there's some verses in there that are written to men and not to women. And there's verses there, especially in Timothy, that are written to women and not to men. But they're there for the men to know what it is God expects out of the women. And it's there for the women to realize what God is asking the men to do. There's verses in there for children that aren't written to adults. But it's good for the adults to learn that, but they're written to the children. I mean, that's just a common sense to read any book. There's stuff in here that is, the purpose of that stuff is it talks about history. It's the Jewish law. And Noah. And his three sons. I'll be teaching another week or so about history of music by going through the black race, the white race, and the brown race. Well, that's Europeans, that's Africans, that's the Orientals. No, that's actually Shem, Ham, and Japheth, where it got all started. So there's history in there. It's there for us, but it's not written to me. If this stuff's written to me, then I better be building an ark. I'm having a hard time fixing my garage door. So, rightly dividing is the key here. And it's the most simple thing in the world. If a person understands rightly dividing, really understands the rightly division, then he can sit down with his Bible and God can talk to him with or without a pastor. And these guys that don't understand their Bible, don't understand rightly dividing, and it's all this confusing stuff, well, they need a pastor to supposedly fix it. No, that pastor makes it even worse, which we will see later what it is that Paul really says about these guys. Okay, so look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. These are the guys that don't rightly divide. 1 Timothy chapter 6 tells me these are the guys that change the words. That's 1 Timothy chapter 6. Again, we go over these all the time. Verse 3, if any man teach otherwise, well, that's verse 1 and 2, about how us men are supposed to be at work. And then consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. No, these guys don't consent to that at all. They change his words. And it says, and to the doctrine, which is according to godliness. That's Paul. The definition of godliness. That comes from Paul. And that's what's taught. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God is manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. You hear all that from Paul. So those guys don't do that. They don't follow his words. They change them. We look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. These are people who don't rightly divide. These are people that change the words, etc. And these are people that get into the homes and destroy their homes. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. For of this sort are they, that's verses 1 through 5, the fifth verse being the most important, having a form of godliness, religion. And these guys creep into houses and leave captive silly women laden with sins. Boy, that is, can you not see that? People out there going to churches, you know why the women are going to that church? They idolize that pastor. Oh, if my husband was just as spiritual as him. Oh, if my husband was just as good as him. Oh, if my husband could just study his Bible like he does. And they sit there and they just believe everything this guy says. And who was it that was deceived? It was Eve. Anyway. So they get into the homes and they're destroyed, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. And he says right there in verse 8 that these guys have corrupt minds, and they're reprobate concerning the faith. Not just faith, the faith. That's the faith of Jesus Christ. These are who these pastors... If these people are not rightly dividing, and they're changing the words, or they're getting into the homes of this religion, this is who we're talking about. Now look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. We know the time has come. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, okay, having itching ears. These are the pastors that teach what the people want to hear. The people have itching ears. They want to hear certain things. Well, if the pastor understands that and he knows his people, he will preach what they want to hear. What does the missionary do? He preaches what the church wants to hear. What does the pastor want to do if he wants people to keep coming back? He better preach to them what they want to hear. That's just where it's at. And they go out there and they'll preach and they'll scratch their little itchy ears that are out there. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse 15 right up there. Verse 15. This is about Alexander the coppersmith, of whom be thou were also free, hath greatly withstood our words. Who are these guys we're talking about? We're talking about these guys that withstand what Paul has to say. Okay, they say that they preach from, you know, Matthew all the way to Jude. You know, no, you don't. You leave out the Paul stuff. You might pop a couple comfortable verses in there, but you stay away from 1 Timothy chapter 3. You stay away from the stuff about women working. You stay away from the stuff that talks about modesty. You stay away from the stuff that talks about men in Titus. And aged men and young men. You don't preach that stuff. You don't dare. For one thing, their ears aren't itching to hear that stuff. The second thing is you'll lose your congregation if you preach Paul only. It's really too bad none of these guys are going to be listening to this stuff. But hey, it gives us an idea. We know what's going on out there. And if nothing else, we realize this Bible has the whole world pegged. And we just read it, and it's even got us pegged. We think we're such great Christians, you know. We're not. We're not stopping from what we should be doing. But Christ took care of that law. Christ took care of sin, and we got to be thankful for that. And he says, you know, the reasonable thing you could do is at least, you know, offer your body as a living sacrifice. Meaning, you know, there's some things you just shouldn't do, even though you want to. Come on, this is a reasonable thing. What he did, we could at least do that a couple times. And if we do, we got judgment seat reward coming up. And if we don't, we got judgment seat burning. We ourselves, we're still saved. Anyway, get back on track here. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Here's something else these people, if they do this, if they don't rightly divide, if they change the words and everything, if they get into homes with their religion, and they're out there scratching itching ears, and they're rejecting what Paul has to say and withstand against him. Here at Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, we got, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. We've got Bible guys preaching philosophy and psychology all the time. It's amazing. They're trying to psychologically fix marriages. Well, Paul could fix that marriage in a flash. Either get the thing right or split it up. If there's no peace in the house, why not? Figure out why there isn't any peace. And if somebody doesn't want to live the way the Christians should be living, then you can dissolve that thing. I mean, there's ways of fixing everything. But this philosophy, this Bible psychology stuff, they're reading books that use scriptures. They're psychologists. It's really simple to preach the Bible if you're rightly divided the thing. Just tell people what it says, because apparently they're not reading it. But when you try to have to fit in the psychology, you have to figure out women, you have to figure out men, you have to figure out relationships, you have to figure out where they came from and what their childhood like, and then you got to psychology work these kids into where they got to, you got to trick these kids into liking the Bible, and you got to trick them into coming to church with music, and you got to manipulate people with music, and you got to get them excited to hear the sermon, so you play some hymns at the beginning. It's not the words they like, it's the music. I hear it all the time from people that sing and do things. They like the music. It's not the word. It's not the Bible. I know somebody that's switching over from the old hymns days to some of the modern stuff. Not the real modern, but they're headed that way. Why? Because of the music. Do you realize that the verses say the same thing over and over again? Over and over and over and over and over again, and yet you sing a good old hymn, if it's biblically true, which a lot of them aren't. You're preaching a Bible study when you sing that thing. Well, they don't want that. They just like the music. It's fun to sing. It's fun to play. It's that psychology. It's how we get manipulated, how we get worked. What do we have to do to get people to give, to help? Do you have to beg? Do you have to tell them? Do you have to have a sudden need? No, you got to manipulate people. You got to, that's that psychology, philosophy stuff here in the tradition of men. What's a tradition of men? What is it that men do all the time? Well, that'd be a sermon in its own right there. Rudiments of the world. Religion. That's a rudiment of everybody gets to have a religion. And if there's the spirit of America, your spirit, the Oprah spirit, and all that stuff. Okay, Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, verse 9. Let's look at this one. Here's another reason. What we're doing is we're identifying who we're going to bash, I guess, what Paul's going to tell us about these people. Right now we're identifying them. Titus chapter 1. The thing that really frustrates me is I know some people are going to hear this thing, and they're still going to attend that church. They're still going to respect and love that pastor. And, okay. You keep going to the restaurant, they keep putting MSG or poisons in that food, and you keep going to that restaurant, and you get tired, you get sick afterwards, and you keep going back. Can I say hello? Oh, I hate that phrase. That's that lady. What's her name? Can't even think of it. Got to quit doing that. Okay, Titus chapter 1, verse 9. Titus chapter 1, verse 9, all the way down to 16. Okay. You start at verse 9, and it talks about these gainsayers, unruly and vain talkers and deceivers. Their mouths must be stopped in verse 11. Well, who are these guys? Well, down to verse 16. So the whole thing goes from 9 to 16. That these are the people that profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him. Okay, these are pastors that preach about God, but they have no clue. They're putting forth a false profession. They're not teaching this God that they profess to know properly. That's because they're not rightly dividing. That's because they're changing the words. That's because they're getting into homes of their religion. That's because they're scratching itching ears. That's because they're withstanding Paul's words. That's because they're teaching philosophy and psychology and worlds, the world rudiments. That's these guys. And they're putting forth a false profession. They profess that they know God, but with what they do, getting involved in the community. Not that we can't get involved in the community, but you think you're going to go out there and get people to think that you're just as much a sinner as them, so come to our church and our music is not going to make you feel at home, all this kind of junk. You're lying. That isn't what God wants you out of you. You can profess that you know God, but you're not showing people you know God. Ladies that are dressed immodestly, they profess that they know God, but in their works they're denying Him. Men who do all the things that men do, and they profess that they know God, but yet they're still out there cussing and laughing and criticizing their boss and whining about pay and all this kind of stuff. You're not doing what God wants you to do. And it says here, in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. What's a good work? What Paul teaches. Philippians 4:9 tells us to follow what Paul's done. So that's who we're talking about here this morning. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 tells me that who are these pastors we're talking about here? We're talking about these guys that preach righteousness. Really? So these guys aren't just preaching wrongness? No, they're preaching righteousness. It says in verse 15, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness. But see, we also know that in Romans chapter 10, he says about these people, they're ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. These guys are out there preaching man's righteousness. Trying to get good works to be you do the right thing, see, and you do a good thing, God will bless you for it. And if you do the wrong thing, God will chastise you, but you can ask for forgiveness. It says 1 John 1:9, da-da-da-da, you know the routine. But if you do the right thing, and you do right, God will bless you. Oh, so you mean a Catholic who's doing the right thing, or a Lutheran who's based their salvation on their baptism, or even an agnostic, or an atheist, or a Muslim, if they're doing good stuff, well then, you know, God will see that. And he'll bless them physically. If we could just get America to do the right thing and save Israel and go out in all these different countries and teach them about God, and we do the right thing, and, you know, we'll be blessed as a nation. Well, that's what it says in Second Chronicles. You pray and, you know, seek his face. No, not at all. But that's what these preachers are preaching. They're preaching a righteousness, but not God's. Well, my pastor doesn't do that. Are you sure? Are you sure about that? You listen to him today or tonight or Wednesday or whatever. Listen to what these guys are doing. Are they rightly divided? Well, no. Does he change some of the words? Does he say the Greek says this? No, he doesn't do that. Well, okay, good. Has he brought a religion into your home? Has it destroyed your home yet? Well, we seem to be happier now. Yeah, happier based on what? That nobody's telling you what's going on? Well, okay. How about does he preach and teach what you want him to hear? Oh, all the time. He's such a good man. He just gives me everything I want to hear. You know? Does he withstand against Paul's words? Well, yeah, he goes into gospel sometimes. He goes into Genesis and gets some stuff out of there of Jacob, you know, and he has really some interesting sermons, you know. Yeah, right. Is he teaching a psychology, a philosophy? The ways done in the world? Does he profess to know God, but you wonder why he does what he does in his everyday life? Is he preaching righteousness? Well, yeah. What's wrong with that? Is it your righteousness or God's? Well, where do you find God's righteousness? From Paul. That's what Paul teaches, is the righteousness of the living Savior. He is living, you know. Well, I know that. And he did teach his stuff. Well, I suppose. Then why don't you want to... How do you find what he taught since he rose? That's Paul. That's all it is. And then lastly here, two quick things here. That's Hebrews chapter 13. If this pastor standing up there and saying, you better obey him, you better follow him, you better do what he says, and you better love him, and you better all this kind of stuff, and he's your spiritual authority in your life, well, that's not written today. That's not the way it's supposed to be. I can tell we're not going to talk about it tonight, but Wednesday or Sunday we're going to talk about what a proper pastor is. And he's not one that holds himself, he lords himself over anybody. And I'll tell you, the reason people, you know, sometimes the pastor doesn't put himself above his people, they put him above themselves. He's the one that's supposed to do the Bible study. He's the one that goes into his prayer closet and he prays. He's the one that walks around the chapel and he prays. He sits in everybody's seat and he prays for that person. Oh, such a marvelous thing. He's the one that comes and prays while you're in the hospital, because obviously you can't pray while you're in a hospital. You know, not that it's fun to be visited, but you know, if you're sitting there with some pretty personalized health issues, you don't need some pastor guy sitting there telling you how we went golfing the day yesterday. And, you know, you're hurting in a private thing. And sometimes pastors' visits aren't the best thing. You have 15 people visit you and the pastor comes in and you want to go to sleep. And this guy sits there and talks all day long. I'm sure I've done that to people. But Hebrews 13, verse 7 and 17. These are the two verses that pastors use. And if your pastor uses these two verses, you got yourself a dog. You got yourself a lying, deceitful, wrongly dividing, Bible-correcting homewrecker who's against Paul, teaching us some psychology junk. And because it says in verse 7, remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. I'm going to follow the faith of Jesus Christ, the faith that Paul had. I'm going to follow my pastor's faith. His faith can weary. Is that the right word, weary? His faith can fade away and come back. I don't want to be like him. Considering the end of their conversation, that's their works. Is this guy going to get to heaven because of his works? Is this guy going to be blessed of God because of his works? That's tribulation stuff right there, obviously. And verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. So do you submit yourselves to your pastor? Well, not that far. Does he teach that? Well, if he teaches that, throw him out. That's right. Men haven't got the courage to do that. You know, touch not the anointed one. Yeah. Most of the men don't know their Bible enough to even tell a pastor he's saying the wrong stuff. He's not rightly dividing. You know. And it says, for they must watch for your souls, as they that must give account. I have to give account for your soul. Christ is taking care of your soul. Your soul stays clean from here on out, if not, you know, earlier than now, even when you're truly saved. My concern is your judgment seat of Christ. You don't have to believe what I said regarding this and that, whatever, but if the scriptures say it, you're rejecting the words of God, you're withstanding against Paul's words like everybody else. I hope you're saved. I hope you're not duped with your religion. And if you study Paul long enough, you'll find out that you'll challenge yourself on your salvation. You'll make sure that you are saved. It comes automatically with rightly dividing. It just challenges you. That they may do it with joy and not with grief. Well, I've told people, listen, you're making my job difficult. God's going to get you for it. That's not right. That's not the way it is. And for that is unprofitable for you. Well, you can use that verse and put a guilt trip on people, and I've done it. Okay, then lastly of all the lastlies here, I said, 16, Jude 16. This is a tribulation book too. So if your pastor's preaching that he's the ruler over you, get rid of him, throw him out. You may never say that, by the way. And then the last one here is Jude 16. Another characteristic of the preachers in the tribulation that we're seeing today, where it says here, these are murmurers and complainers walking after their own lusts, you know. But anyway, here's the point. And their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. These guys have an advantage over the people in the church because of who they are. They've got a personality. They've got something they've got over people. Men's persons, who this person is, in admiration. You admire your pastor because of who he is. And like I say, it's the women that go after the pastors, love the pastors more than the men do. Men may go shooting with a guy, and they may like some of the things he teaches, and he's good buddies and good pal, and they get to write a check for the offering once in a while, so they're part of the family here, you know. But no, come on. It's the spiritual, holy and devout, honorable and devout women that love their pastor because he's who he is. You know, invite people to your church because of who your pastor is. How about you invite people to your church because they need to learn how to rightly divide? Oh, that's right. Your pastor doesn't do that. You need to invite people to your church so they can hear a man that preaches but not to change God's words. Oh, wait a minute. Your pastor doesn't do that. You want people to come to your church to see your pastor so he can get into their home with his religion and your religion, your Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran religion, and destroy their homes. You want to bring people to come to see your pastor because he'll scratch your itchy little ears. What you want to hear, your pastor will figure it out. He'll teach it to you. Oh, it sounds so nice. You want to get somebody to come to your church, and boy, because your pastor said he's going to withstand Paul's word. Oh, that's right. So you don't want him to come to that. This guy is very good to the psychology. He's got us women and us men. He's got good stuff on relationships. He's got good writings. Oh, yeah, well, once you come to our church, you know, this guy teaches you how to live right. Oh, well, he's a preacher of righteousness. He's of the devil. Anyway. You don't want people to come to your church because he's going to be the ruler over them. You want to hide that one at first. But you want him to come because of who he is. Oh, women go, oh, he's handsome. He's got this $300 suit. I don't know what suits even cost anymore. $300 suit. He's slick. I love those pinstripes. Boy, oh, this is great. And he stands up there and he screams. Oh, I love the screamers. You know, I love the hackers. Something called hacking, where they when they breathe in and they make this noise. Can't even do it. And we'll tell you, I can't even do it. And then they make this noise between every time they breathe. It's a thing. First time I ever saw that, I thought, oh man, what in the world is this? Homer Smith does that. Probably not anymore, I would think. And I think they call it hacking. What a act. And, you know, you got the guy that draws, and he's crude and rude and tough. Oh, we like that. Yeah, let's go to this Baptist blowout, and let's find out. Let's watch Dr. Ruckman. You know, watch? What did Dr. Ruckman teach you? I used to take notes when I was following that stuff, and I'd have probably 4 points, and 50 stories. A couple of scriptures. They were good scriptures, you know, but if you listen to his sermons today, they are the same, they're the drawings. They are the same drawings, the same jokes, the same comments as 50 years ago. But people, they steal people's packed houses. Do they learn anything from the sermons? No. But they sure did enjoy it. They got to see history. Anyway. Okay. So that's who we're talking about here. I'm not just against pastors. Pastors are a very biblical position, which we will see, obviously not tonight, Wednesday night, or maybe we'll save it for Sunday. The proper preacher. Yeah, there's a proper position for that pastor. And I'll tell you what, based on the scriptures, not based on my thinking or my teaching or my experiences, based on the scriptures, there's very few people out there that are pastoring in the way they're supposed to pastor according to the scriptures. Rightly dividing? Well, they sort of do, but they sure don't want to do it Timothy and Titus. I know what it's like to preach Timothy and Titus. You'll either lose your church or you'll go bonkers preaching it. You don't want to change the words? Well, I'm glad you're a King James only guy. You ever go back to the Greek, Hebrew? Or could it have been said a little differently, maybe? Maybe this isn't quite the way you want it to be said. So these guys get into your home and bring a religion, bring that Baptist religion. I was cleaning my garage the other day. I'm lucky to have, I'm very thankful to have a garage, by the way. And going through my books, I found this book I studied back in Ohio, the Baptist exam, the Baptist textbook. And I saw all the circles I've done, and I remember how unscriptural Baptist teachings really are. I mean, it shocked me to think this is what they believe. And so you bring that stuff into your home. You've got a religion. You've got a man ruling his wife, even abusively. You've got a father being a jerk. You've got a mother that doesn't care about their daughter. You've got nobody teaching the girls how to be a woman to please God. You got none of that going on in the Baptist church. They don't dare do that. Sure, they wear dresses and all that stuff, but come on, some of those dresses are more revealing than anyway, let's get away from that. You've got these guys that are... we've been over this already. Let's just zip your lip and quit whining about it. This stuff just gets me. These guys out there, they know what to tell people. And they really hate Paul's words. They do. They teach us psychology. They're taught how to teach psychology in these colleges, Bible colleges. And these guys are liars. They put forth a false profession. And they still tell you to do the right thing. Well, what's the right thing? Remember, it says in Isaiah chapter 5 that there's going to, during these days coming up here, that right is going to be called wrong. What's wrong is going to be called right. We see that going on. These guys will stand up there and teach these women how to be a good CEO or a good boss or a good worker. They're not even supposed to be there. We're there because we're living in a sinful world. They're there because the husbands are lazy bums. Sometimes it's a sickness thing. It's nobody's fault. It's what has to be to survive. Sometimes it's just jerk parents. They're teaching the sports thing to the girls and they're just teaching them how to do it. No, that's wrong. But they think they're teaching the right thing. No, you're teaching the wrong stuff. Dump this pastor that's doing that. And they pull this authority over on top of you. Your final authority is your Bible, not your pastor. And if your pastor doesn't say what the Bible says, your pastor is wrong. And people like him just because of who they are. And I was just thinking, you know, you cannot like your pastor based on their personality, too. And if this guy is preaching the right stuff and teaching the right stuff, but you don't like his personality, you know, throw yourself out, not him out. Personality has nothing to do with it. Is he teaching to the book? Is he teaching to you rightly divided? Is he not changing the words? Is he not bringing a religion into your home? Is he not scratching your itchy little ear? Does he give you Paul's words? Is he throwing out the psychology, philosophy junk? Is he giving a true profession? Is he preaching God's righteousness? Is he not pulling authority, but he's putting the Bible over you for authority, but not him? He'll still tell you what he thinks if you ask him. But we all know that you're not going to do what the pastor says anyway. I've learned that. And then, you know, if he's just... throw the guy out. If he's doing all that stuff, keep him. Do what you can to keep them. And Paul tells you what to do with a good pastor. How to support them. So tonight, we'll just look at what else the risen Savior says about these guys. We've identified who these people are. And you've got to be willing to admit your pastor's this way or not. I know too many people out there that just, I have to say this, if they listen to this thing, they haven't got the guts to step away. Because that puts their family, puts them in charge of their family again. And few men can do that. Or, put it this way, men are willing to try. Few wives are willing to let them try it. They're too honorable and too devout, too holy. And the children, they need the music. They need the pastor talking to them about sex and relationships and stuff. That's what youth pastors talk about. It's just crazy. Okay, so we will look tonight at what Paul says about these guys now. We know who they are. Let's see what he talks about them tonight, what he says about them tonight. In the meantime, if you still got a church, which I know a lot of people do that listen to this, you know, just check out your pastor. He is the magnificent one that needs to be destroyed, if that's the case. And you don't go after him, you just leave. Who are you, you know? No, he's in charge of the church building. He's in charge of the place. There's no doubt about that. That's his ministry. That's his place. If that's what he wants to do, if he thinks that God called him to correct the Bible or to wrongly divide or do all this kind of stuff, let him do it. You just need to get out of there. That's all. And what, stay home with a worthless dad that doesn't do Bible? Stay home with a family that doesn't pay attention to dad? Stay home with a father that we've brought our family up with 20, 30 years of religion, and suddenly they're going to listen to us now? No, they're not. But at least you did the right thing. That's all you can do. If it's too late to fix your kids now, at least you live your life the way you're supposed to please God. Be that testimony that you still believe your Bible, and the Bible's a joyful book, and it's an exciting book, and it's got this world pegged, it's got this world figured out. At least let them know that. That's why I despise religion. It destroyed my family, and it's destroying other families. And I know what religion will do to everybody. It'll send them to the Antichrist. Everybody thinks it's fantastic. Their ears are being scratched, and they think it's great, but they're being lied to, and I know that. Can you convince them not? No, I can't. But praise the Lord, I got a book that I can trust. I could show you in the video here that the thickest part of my Bible, as far as what's been studied the most, is Paul's stuff right there. And that's been my joy. It's the only thing that keeps me, and I know some of you going, is the fact that, well, the debt grows, the pains get painfulier, but you got your Bible. I tell you, I sit down last night or the night before, and I scratch out these notes, and I read it. Boy, I get a peace just sitting there. I know nobody's going to pay attention to it. I know people aren't going to like it, but this is what has to be done. It gives me a peace to write down and sit down and study this Bible and find out how rotten I am, but also to find out that Christ has taken care of all that. It's a marvelous thing. And if we don't stay in this book, you're heading for the world. It's that simple. I know too many people that have gone back to their religion. Why? Because they wanted back to their religion? No, because they stayed away from their book and they just ran out of gas. That's what happens. This King James Bible is our fuel. The Lord is my fuel. I know. And he talks to me through this book. No other way. Okay, I'll just quit yakking. We'll see you folks tonight. If you want to come back tonight, love to have you. And there you are.